So, hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel. This is a podcast that aims to improve the lives of two best friends separated by 3,000 miles. This is, of course, a new episode. And I am your co-host and one half of this podcast, Dino Beans, a.k.a. Big Daniel, a.k.a. Drippy D's, a.k.a. Big Dragon, a.k.a. Little Teacup, and finally, probably my least used name, a.k.a. Daniel. I am joined by my co-host. Tell him who you are, co-host.
This is Soren, a.k.a. S-Dog, a.k.a. Kevin Sorbo, a.k.a. Semalema Ding Dong.
So you know in like volleyball, if you do like a set, you do like a perfect set. It's like a glorious set and the ball is just like hovering in the air. And it's practically, if you listen close, you can hear it moaning, "Spike me, daddy." And then instead of your teammate spiking it, daddy, your teammate is like, "Hey, this is Soren, a.k.a. Sorbo. That's kind of like what this podcast is sometimes for me.
You setting me up.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Well, and I'm the first to admit that I'm not, my head's not always in the game, in the volleyball game.
I'm just letting the ball fall.
I'm often texting, but sometimes I really try and I set up.
So really what you're saying is that.
And you just fucking let it land with a fart and then it's game over.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, the difference between volleyball and what we're doing here is that in volleyball, they've done nothing but train together and practice for that exact moment.
Yeah.
And they it's almost to the point where when one person's setting the ball, they might even say they're setting up the other person.
Mm-hmm.
They're prepared for that exact moment. Whereas here, I asked you specifically before this podcast, is there anything I should be prepared for in this podcast?
And what did
and
I say?
You said, nope. Nope. Let's start. And you did your big throat clear and we started the podcast.
It's great to hear from you. Anyway, as always, we are Quick Question. And as even more always, you, our listeners, prefer to be called Quick Moranis, who is not retired. He just doesn't know how to change his Wikipedia page. That's like an actual true thing. Did you know that?
He doesn't know how to change his own Wikipedia
page. Yeah, so like he's got a wonderful and like and sad and heartbreaking life, is that his I believe his wife passed away and then he stepped away from acting just to spend more time with his daughters and like raise them and be a dad. And it had been misreported that he retired from acting. Really, he was just enjoying spending time with his daughters and legit doesn't know how to change his Wikipedia page. He's not retired. He's not going out for parts right now, but he's not retired and just doesn't know how to like update that bit of misinformation.
Oh, I could help him out with that. I'll just go change it.
Yeah,
how has nobody changed it since that news has broken?
I mean, they might have. I haven't followed up.
All right. Well, he's wonderful. He's a national treasure. And I assumed that he had stepped away. He was like in a Phoebe Cates situation where he was like, no, it's my kids. My kids are most important.
Yeah. And he's also been like quietly releasing albums for decades.
What?
Yeah. Joe Pesci, too. You know Joe Pesci, who's in the news because he recently came out of acting retirement to be in The Irishman, which I'm in like day four of my 8-day period of watching that 3.5-hour movie. Joe Pesci's last album, you want to guess when it came out?
All right. 2004.
Last Friday.
Oof. What's he doing on it? Is he playing some banjo with the arrow through his head?
No, he's singing. Joe Pesci's singing.
He's a crooner. Okay, I didn't know that. What's he sing? Is he singing like Sinatra songs?
I don't know.
I would say that his voice is not super charismatic or like soothing.
He rapped for a while. He released an album of raps in like different characters that he's played. One of his albums is named after his character in My Cousin Vinny, I believe. Interesting cat. Anyway, we like to call out one review every week to read on the show. But this week, instead, I'm going to use this time to address a thing because several people have been complaining that I seem to hate the show. Which is it's a very fun thing for me to do, but I understand now that it's been hurting some people's enjoyment of the thing, so I'm going to tamp it down. Message received. I will stop pretending to hate the show, and in so doing, have less fun making it. Thoughts on that, Soren? Do you think it hurts the dynamic if I enjoy making this show?
No, you know what? I kind of like it if you enjoyed the show.
I think it's fun. It's
it's just like a fun little experiment we could try where both people making the show enjoy what they're doing. Yeah.
I thought it would be clear to the audience that if I'm doing this, it's because I want to do it. Like, no one's forcing me to do anything. But I understand now how it could be misinterpreted.
Dan,
who's that talking?
Was it? It's Bacon. So was it a bit the whole time when we're not recording and you talk about how much you hate the show?
No, yeah, no,
and
that's
you don't
real.
Want to do the show. That was that part's real,
that's
right?
Behind the curtain.
So in this case, I'm the audience.
Yes.
When me and you are just emailing, no one else on the thread.
Yeah, no, that's correct.
Okay.
So we're gonna get into this is the show where we ask each other questions and we give each other answers. Who wants to go first? You want to go first, Soren, or do you want me to go first?
No, I'll go first.
Okay.
Dan, quick question.
Go ahead.
Coming up on Christmas time, after Thanksgiving is really when I like to start listening to Christmas music again. And I have one Christmas song in particular that's my favorite Christmas song. I could never tire of it. I mean, there are times in the middle of the year around August where I'm having a bummer of a day and I'm feeling blue. And I think to myself, you know what I deserve is this Christmas song. And I'll listen to it then because it cheers me up so much.
That makes sense. August is farthest away from your birthday that a month could be.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. It's and I'm done with my presents. I'm tired of them. I'm throwing them aside and I'm thinking to myself, what next? What else can I consume in this world? And this Christmas song really does the trick for me. And I'm wondering if you have a Christmas song like that.
I do. I, to begin with, love Christmas music. And for many years, as soon as Thanksgiving ended its bullshit, I would exclusively listen to Christmas music. I would listen to, like, in Jersey 106.7 on the radio, because that's when they start doing Christmas music. In LA, I believe it was 103.5 doing Christmas music 24 hours a day starting after Thanksgiving. And then I would just like listen to Pandora or Spotify playlists of Christmas music everywhere I went, because I fucking love Christmas. It rules. And I never fail to get amped by, this is such an obvious basic choice, but Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. It, as soon as those fucking coy bells in the beginning start, those little chimes where they're like, you know what we've got in store. We're going to play it slow before we...
I can hear the really, grin on your face
really
as it comes in.
Run into this. They everything, even her singing in the beginning, before it gets into like the drums and everyone going crazy to get into the real meat of the song, it's all built up. It's all just edging you to this amazing Christmas release. And
it does to me feel like the coiling of a spring.
Yeah. And you know,
like, we're just getting tighter and tighter, and you're like, we gotta let this thing go any second.
Do it now, Mariah. And as soon as those,
here we go.
Oh yeah, here it comes. Is what I? It's already. I want it now,
Mariah. What? Oh, she's so good. Oh. Yeah.
Ba-bum. It's so good.
Okay.
All right. I love that. And I would always get amped in my car because I love the background harmonies in that song a whole lot.
Of course.
All that shit really gets me. I enjoy when it comes on my Amazon listening music machine in my apartment, because I want my neighbors to hear those bells come on and then hear me say, oh, fuck yeah, because there's still magic left in the world.
Here they see a hand come fifth through the wall, like a fist coming through the wall. Fuck yeah.
It also makes me think of Love Actually movie. Love Actually, a movie that I love that you hate, because there's a huge moment in that film where this song plays a tremendous role. It also makes me think of Natalie Walker, who everyone should follow on Twitter on NWalks. I believe her pinned tweet right now is something that she did in 2015 or 2016. And it's her singing the high school chorus alto part to this song. And it's just a very funny video.
By itself?
Yeah, it's really good.
that I like that song an awful lot. I really like the music video for it too, because it's so confusing.
You have a lot of thoughts on the
really,
music video.
Yeah, it demonstrates to me that Mariah Carey has, even at that age when she did this song, had already lost touch with humanity, sure. like what the common person does for Christmas. Because her, just the idea of wishing for something seems so foreign to her. In the video, she's like, she's getting presents. She's dancing around in the snow a lot in a one piece, and Santa's there, and it gets very flirty. But there's also these intercuts of her opening presents, and the things she's opening are insane. She's opening doves. well, not like opening their bodies up, but like she opens a present and doves come.
I mean,
out.
I wouldn't be
or
surprised.
She opens a present and kittens. There's some kittens in a box. So there's some puppies. She only gets live creatures for Christmas, and it's really unnerving and makes me very anxious, because I can't help but think of this as a real narrative in the music video, and there's no way this woman's taking care of all these baby animals.
But so, like, do you like the song?
I love the song.
Okay.
And in fact, we are decorating our Christmas tree today, and I have a Christmas playlist, and I uniquely situated it at track 11. And as it comes on, Colleen and I both at the same time went, yes!
One of the things about this song that is so remarkable to me is that no one has come anywhere close to doing like a meaningful remake of this song, because in general it seems hard to break into the new Christmas song market. You know, you can do like Josh Groban can do covers forever, and Michael Bublé can do covers forever of these old classics, and you like the spin they put on it, but there are very few like new modern Christmas songs that actually penetrate through. Mariah Carey's is one of those, and no one has come close to matching it, or God forbid topping it.
Right. I think you're absolutely right. I think that certainly no one can do another cover of that song and get away with
no.
it. She's does something uniquely hers, and I think it's awesome. And certainly the other people who are doing Christmas songs right now, it's not for lack of trying that people aren't like succeeding at this. Everyone's trying to create their own Christmas song.
And oh yeah, you're not just working. Printing money if you do it.
There are a few that have come that I like as of late. I think they've kind of like, whatever robot algorithm is creating Christmas songs now is really landed on what gets to my heart. And like, there's one called Santa Baby by Ariana Grande that I think is excellent.
Is it not the, it's not a cover of
no.
the real Santa
no,
Baby?
No, it's
a different
own,
Santa Baby?
Yes. My son, by the way, when we listen to either version of Santa Baby.
Also, I want to interrupt you real quick to correct you on a thing that is going to annoy you in the same way that it annoys people when I correct them. That it's actually Dr. Seuss, not Dr. Seuss.
Yeah. Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande.
Grande. Ariana. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ariana Grande.
According to her.
That can't be right.
Okay, what? You can call a young woman a liar. It's fine if you want to do that.
I mean, it's all I do. all right. Well, anyway, Ariana Grande has a song called Santa Baby. It's wonderful. It's nice. It's a good little Christmas song that makes you move to it. And when my son hears it, he starts cracking up. And for a while, I couldn't figure out why. I thought it was the sound of her voice or something. It sounded like a child was singing. But he likes it because he thinks that she's singing about a Santa that's a baby.
Oh, that is fun.
Yeah. A Santa that had like a baby that has a big beard. And then I started like getting in on it. I was like, so does the Santa suit, does it fit him? And he says, no. Like it's a Santa, you know, normal size Santa suit, the little hat covering basically his entire body. And I thought that was really, really funny.
So it's like he got hit by like a de-aging ray.
Yeah,
exactly. Only yeah. his body changed.
Yeah, but the beard stayed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And still has like a bowl full of jelly for a stomach.
That's fantastic. And, yeah. and like also on this subject, so Ronan, I don't know what the ages are for these things. He knows what Christmas is now.
This is the year. This is like, I don't think it will ever be better than this year for him, because he gets it. He understands Santa. He understands the rules, how it all works. And he's old enough that he's making presents at preschool for us. And he's excited about that and can't keep that shit to himself. And, I remember being exactly his age. And like, that's when everyone in your circle of friends and your life around you, people like buying presents for somebody who just now gets it. Mm-hmm. And so he'll never get better presents or more presents than he does this year. Advent calendar. He's starting to kind of like remember the stuff from last year. So it's the first time the tradition really sticks for you.
That's
and
great.
It's great. It's a perfect year for him. I also have a Christmas song. that is my absolute favorite.
Okay. Do you want to say it?
Yes. But part of the reason that I like this song so much is that I can picture it in a movie that does not exist. I know that it's been in several Christmas movies. I can't name you a single one that it's actually been in, just off the top of my head. But it's
sure can.
But I can tell you like the scene that I see in my head as I hear it. So the song is by the Eagles, a band I notoriously hate. But
I gotta jump in and correct you again.
It's the Eagles.
Eagles. It's just Eagles. There's no the.
Oh, if you were legit correcting me.
Uh huh. Okay. And it's the second time on this podcast that I've had to tell you the name of the band is Eagles.
Oh, fuck. Hotel California. I remember now.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's a band.
Look, I don't like that I'm this way either.
It's good, actually.
It's not fun.
Because there are people just like you at home listening, all three of them, and they're doing the exact same thing. They're screaming to themselves when I get this shit wrong. And so when you correct me, I'm sure it's like scratching an itch to them. Okay, so... I almost just did it again. Eagles have a song called Please Come Home for Christmas. And it starts like this. And this is what I see in my head, is that a guy in the office, sky rise, it's snowing in Chicago, that's where he works, gets off the phone with his wife because he can't make the recital for his daughter. And like he stands up and she's not mad, she's not happy. The daughter's going to be crushed, but he's got to stay late at work. So he stands up and he goes and he looks out the window and he sees all the families down below celebrating Christmas, going into the shops, all the tinsel everywhere. And it's just not for him this year. And he's just thinking to himself, is it all worth it? Is this really what I want to do with my life? I mean, what's the most important thing in the world, really? It's family, isn't it? And then he gives up on his job and he goes to the recital and fuck all. Like, let's see what happens. Just throw the dice. All right, you can turn it off, Gabe.
It's we should probably interject music into this podcast more because it's just like really fun to hear you talk over music.
Yeah, this should
like,
be
like you get more gravitas when you do it.
Dan, dare I say, are we launching a second podcast that you don't want to do?
We are,
because I'm like both times when you guys did that. It first of all. Who would have thought we would pull off the production quality the first time? We can barely record this thing, let alone have a third media element in it. But I like almost had goosebumps both times when you guys were talking.
That's very good.
It's very powerful.
And Soren, if I may, the movie that you're thinking of that incorporates this song into its soundtrack,
uh-huh.
It's Love Actually.
Oh, no. Wait. Did the scene I just described somewhat exist in Love Actually?
Yes.
What? Wait, who is it?
I actually, I'm not sure if the music is immediately paired with Laura Linney's stuff or if it's paired with Colin's stuff. But the sentiment of a person who is choosing work over family is, or work over personal happiness is certainly in there. And that song is certainly in there. So,
okay.
I think it counts.
I maybe should give that movie another shot.
Yeah, you really should. I mean, don't. It's problematic. I watched it at Thanksgiving with my family and it's pretty rough.
For all the people that are out there trying to make Christmas songs, there are just so many people trying to make Christmas movies that are going to cut through the noise and be like, this is the one. After you watch Rudolph and after you watch Life is Beautiful. Please don't watch that on Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Perfect Christmas movie. Celebration of all things Christmas. Life is Beautiful.
What's the Jimmy Stewart one called?
It's a Wonderful Life.
That's the one. After you watch that one, like people are they're just sort of banking on the fact that you're going to – maybe some days everyone will watch my Christmas movie. And none of them so far have even come close to that. They're all kind of like wishy-washy and kind of crap, including, I think, Love Actually.
You picked, I like Love Actually because it's a movie where I turn off the most analytical part of my brain and I buy full into the premise that love is a real thing, that is B, magic. So that allows me to sort of sweep all the problematic things under the rug. When people are like, hey, this guy fell in love with his housekeeper who didn't speak a word of English. And then, and there was like an uncomfortable power dynamic because he was her employer, essentially. And then he tracked her down to her family's house and took her away. That's the kind of thing that if I wanted to write a long essay about all the problems with Love Actually, I would dedicate a whole page to. But I shut that part of my brain off and like, no, according to this movie, everyone has a soulmate and they were born soulmates very far away from each other and they found each other. And that's it. And you ignore the parts that complicate that and just decide, no, love it. Like Cupid hit them and that's it. Deal with it. It's Christmas. Shut up.
Okay. Yeah. My problems with the movie were, it existed long before I was woke in any capacity. So my problems with the movie are how just sort of cloying it is, but it feels like an unearned cloyingness. Like you're not sticking with the same character for very long in that movie and you're kind of revisiting other people all the time. And so there's no time to build up a real emotional investment in any of them. And then you keep going until they either get their way or in like Laura Linney's case, they really don't. And I just don't feel anything for them. And I think that it's the same way you're like an HGTV show where they're rebuilding a house for somebody who doesn't know they're doing that for them. And like at the end, they're like, isn't this amazing? And then we get the slow motion and the music. And I'm like, you didn't earn this. Like I can tell exactly the formula and I know how you're trying to like tug at my heartstrings, but you didn't earn this. I will say that it's a great cast though.
Yeah, it's a great cast and it's a great movie.
You have a question for me, Dan.
Well, I want to stick with this for a little bit. That's okay. The Eagles song is like, it's a pretty sad song.
Yeah.
It's a great song. And like, and I also hate Eagles, but it's definitely it's like,
when you so say it problematic.
when you say it that way, that feels like something you could put on your gravestone someday.
It's definitely going to be quoted when you guys are like super famous. That's going to be quoted out of context by like an anti-environmentalist.
By the way, my son calls eagles American birds.
Oh, that's great. That's much better.
But it does sound like you just hate them in general.
You picked like a downer of a song. It's a beautiful song, but it's still like it's strange to associate with Christmas, in my opinion.
Well, there's always that weird sobering aspect of Christmas as well. I mean, there's the joyousness, like there's like the Hallmark movie version of Christmas that is kind of overlays everything. Like I would say freshly fallen snow. If I couldn't stumble over my own words, it would have sounded just like that. But I also think that Christmas has that sort of sobering nostalgia to it, that things can never go back to the way they were before. Christmas will never be the same as it was when you were a kid. It was genuinely magic then. Yeah. And as you get older, that goes away. It's replaced by something else where everyone goes, yeah, but I love this just as much, because they have to say that even though they don't mean it. And I think that you also, Christmas is the time when you... Yeah.
Even if they do mean it, it is still kind of sobering. Like it's your point is well met. There's the macro aspect of it, which is yes, Christmas as an adult will never be the same as it was Christmas when you were in preschool or third grade or whatever was your peak Christmas. And on a micro level, I personally build up so much to Christmas. Like it's there's a lot of hype around it every year. I'm going to give presents and I'm going to get presents, and it's a stressful time and you're building it up to this moment when you're going to be surrounded by your family and friends or whatever your situation is. And then December 26th happens.
Yeah, it was crushing.
And you just wake up. I don't mean that to be depressing. Just
another day. And not only that, it's another day where it's the heart of winter.
Yeah,
and you've got a lot more winter to go
forward to,
right? Yeah, and everyone, and I mean, this is the way that we're describing it. It's like everyone in the world celebrates Christmas, and that's certainly not the case. There are a lot of people who celebrate other holidays, and I'm certainly open to that. And I like the idea of it. I'd like to maybe incorporate some of their traditions into my own, because Christmas only means to me, it has nothing to do with Christ and my family. It just has to do with like, this is a fun holiday where everyone kind of like gets together, and everyone is. You walk into a supermarket, Christmas music's playing.
Right. That's why every year you watch Life is Beautiful on Christmas Day.
That's right. It's a tradition. Just the... there's just a certain... like a cohesiveness to it. Yeah. There's a lot of... the holidays in general, let's say. Like I don't need to attribute it just to Christmas. The holiday season feels really good. Everyone, I'm in a better mood. I treat people that I meet generally better. I'm more philanthropic in my everyday life. Mm-hmm. Like I feel more willing to give, to, I'll like look up charities that I can start giving to. And I like it. I just like it a lot.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, I have a quick question for you.
Okay, go.
It's sort of, it's also pretty much on theme. So you were born in Colorado, raised in Colorado, lived in Los Angeles for, what is it, 15 years now?
Yeah.
Do you miss snow?
Yeah, but not enough that I want to go move to a snowy climate. It was brutal at first. When I first lived in Los Angeles, I went to college out here, and that was the first time I had been away from home in the winter. And seeing, I didn't understand the season changes out here because it's very subtle. And all of a sudden, everyone was getting ready for Christmas. And I was like, no, you don't deserve it out here. Look at us. We're waking up in shorts out here. And I did miss it. I missed it a lot also because I grew up skiing and snowboarding and doing a lot of snow sports and couldn't do any of those. And then I started to, like, basically it was probably after Christmas where I was like, wait a second, this is way easier to just get up and go to work.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day having to get up and go to school, waking up, forgetting to put my parents' truck in the garage. And so now it's sitting outside with snow all over the windshield and I don't have a scraper. And so I take an old jewel case from a CD and scrape the windshield with that. And like that cold, icy feeling on your hands when you're doing that. And just trying to get out of bed on a morning where it's a blizzard or it's snowing outside. It's awful. I'm sure that that's something you now deal with all the time.
Yeah. I mean, not all the time yet. I bring it up because this was the Manhattan's first like snow. Nothing stuck, but it was snowy and sleety, and like the roads were icy and the sidewalks were icy. And it got me thinking that there's nothing that I've had as profound of a shift with than snow in my life. As something that as a child, I loved it for so many reasons. For all of my childhood, for like, oh, it's snowing. That means I can have a snowball fight or I can go sledding. I could do activities that I can't normally do. I could build a snowman. I could, goodness gracious, school might be canceled because we had school cancellations for snow. And it was the biggest thrill in the world to wake up and find out that you didn't need to wake up and you could just spend the time indoors being comfy and feeling like you're getting away with something because you don't have to go to school and it's not your fault and you can't get caught. And then as I got a little bit older, snow became a thing that was how I made a little bit of money. As soon as I was in like middle school, my buddies and I would go out when it snowed and shovel driveways and sidewalks and get whatever, you know, not a lot of money. It was like, hey, it's me and eight of my buddies. We'll split $20. Can we shovel your sidewalk and driveway? Because we were just trying to make enough money to get pizza together and maybe see a movie. It was all very wholesome. And I had so much joy for all these different reasons wrapped up in snow, to say nothing of how like beautiful the first snow looks. And then right around hitting college, it just became a tremendous inconvenience and became the worst thing in the world. Like, I don't even like looking at it when I was in college. Not even, you know, it meant that my car was going to be stuck wherever I parked it and I need to dig my car out if I wanted to move it. And they don't cancel college for snow as much as they do elementary school. So now you're trudging through the snow. And if the snow hangs around long enough, it just gets fucking dirty. Just like dark piles of wet bullshit everywhere. And now forget about it. I see no benefits to snow as a mid-30-year-old.
Yeah, I think snow is one of those things that's really fun as long as you have nothing else to do.
Yeah.
It's novel and cool and great to have in your life when you don't have a job to also go to and it's in the way. Or, I mean, you want to go for a run. The idea of running when it's snowy outside, even if there's like clear paths, it seems like an impossibility to me now because I lived in Los Angeles for so long. I've been to places like my parents' house, or sometimes it'll snow in where my wife lives, her parents live. And I'll be like, well, I can't possibly run here. This is insane. It's clearly 30 degrees outside. People don't do this. But it's really awful unless you have nothing but free time. And then it's so charming and wonderful.
Yeah. Has Ronan seen the snow? Has he enjoyed the snow?
He's been to Chicago and Minnesota once when it was snowing in both places, but it wasn't sticking in either one when we were there. And it was so long ago that he doesn't remember. So no, he hasn't played in snow. He's very curious about it. But I can remember at being young, sitting in my house, I knew exactly how much it had to snow for me to know that the sledding hill was totally covered and that we weren't going to be scraping up gravel on the sleds on the bottom. So I could watch it snow outside. I could see where, how it built up on the deck, and I'd know exactly how much it needed before I could go out. And it was, I would just wait there and watch it.
We did that to sort of see how, if school would be canceled. We had like our picnic table in the backyard, and we would see how much snow had accumulated on top of the table, because that would be a clear tell of how much snow was around. Like, you wouldn't need to jam a ruler into the snow or anything like that. So we had that. Yeah. And our other canary was my mom. Shout out to my mom. She worked at a different school district as the school nurse, and she was on the chain when they would call the administrators. They would let them know in advance if school was going to be canceled the next day. So we waited for her to get the call, which would sort of tip us off if our schools would be canceled.
Yeah.
And there was so much really excitement surrounding it.
I think in my entire growing up, a school was only canceled twice for snow. And it's because we're so well equipped to handle snow in mountain towns in Colorado that right. It almost never got canceled. It could snow a foot and a half in a night and school would not be canceled.
That's fascinating and horrible.
Well, yeah, we couldn't get down our driveway. We lived out in the woods. We lived in a cabin. So everyone in town, you know, there's plows and stuff. But where we were, it was just like, well, we're going to see what happens as we go down the hill.
I mean, I just think everyone should be able to share in the joy of the possibility of school being canceled by snow. That was like a real thing. That it was like one of the things that made winter okay in New Jersey was like, oh, it might snow, and then you just get like a free day that they can't take away from you.
Do you guys think now they, with like email and stuff, because I know a lot, I tutored a kid and he got a lot of assignments over email and stuff like that. Do you think they're making them do work just at home? Like they're sending them email and stuff?
I can't imagine anything worse. I was just thinking they should bake that in. They should bake in snow days to school every year. And even if they don't get a ton of snow, you just call it a snow day anyway, because those are like your most formative memories as a kid is missing school when you should be at school.
Yeah.
I hate the idea of that. Did they do that with him? Did they try and give him work?
We never had snow days because it was here.
But on like in-service days and things like that?
All of his work was done through, I mean, he went to a private school, but all of his work was done through an iPad that they gave him. So he'd submit assignments and stuff like that. So I imagine he just still had stuff coming in.
That sounds awful.
Yeah. Well, that's
all right.
Hey, Soren, quick question.
Shoot.
So I'm on hiatus from my job right now.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, we wrapped up in the middle of November and we don't come back to work until the middle of January. And I've been going insane. I did some fishing in North Carolina and that was great. I've cleaned my room and my apartment several thousand times. I've been doing a lot of cooking, and I'm just curious, and you have to take away the fact that you have a home and a child and another one on the way. What would you do if you had lots and lots of time suddenly?
Yeah. This is going to sound like a crazy question, but I promise it's not. Do you hate writing?
No.
Okay. Well, I would be working on my pilot right now. Maybe even like two pilots. If you have a feature film idea, just like tinker with it, because who cares? Maybe no one will ever see it. And it would be just like a fun thing to write. If I had all the free time in the world right now, I would spend it doing a lot of that.
Yeah.
Writing for potentially the future. And I'm starting to do a little bit of that because I've figured out a way that I can carve out a little bit of time. I have a laptop now, so I can actually do that wherever I want. But it's something I wish I had way more time. Never. I had a company issued one. It cracked for a little while and that was it.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Never owned a laptop. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Writing is a good answer. I've been doing some writing. I've been doing a lot of reading. Again, I clean my apartment every single morning just to find new things to clean. It's really... I'm just such a task-oriented person, and I get up at about 7. I can't sleep in, and I'll exercise and I'll have my coffee and I'll do some reading and I'll do a little bit of writing and, you know, I'll relax and watch a movie and then I'll look up and realize, oh, it's 11 a.m. and I've done all my chores and all my tasks. And then I just don't know what to do with myself.
You watch movies?
Yeah.
You could make that fucking clock I gave you.
Nah.
No, not that.
Nah. I looked into it and no, I'm not gonna.
I mean, you're
it's a very good problem
situation
to have.
For you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's no one else in the world would complain about having time, but I'm just very much like goal and task oriented. Like I did 80% of my Christmas shopping yesterday.
Whoa.
So now I'm just trying to space the rest of it out.
You could start drinking.
Start?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
No, yeah, that's a good point.
The problem is it motivates you. I see the issue here. If I had more time, I would use it. Well, first of all, I wouldn't immediately use it for these purposes, but my hiatuses generally look like this. Hiatus starts, I luxuriate in the time that is my own, where I watch movies, I catch up on TV shows, I go to the restaurants that I like, regardless of how far away they are, and get food. And then when that starts to get tiresome, that's when I get more interested in more creative pursuits. Like I'll build something for our house or for Ronan's preschool, and then I'll start writing. I'll start watching movies around the topic that I want to write about. Just to like get a sense of how the structure works. And I get very excited about new projects. And I don't know, then by hiatus seems to end almost immediately.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty good.
Is there some new hobby we could find for you?
Probably.
Like, what if you started tending to an herb garden?
Yeah, it sounds like some dumb shit I'd be into.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I think I would like that because I spent Friday because it was after Thanksgiving and I had very little to do. So I did, again, clean the apartment, hang out with my dog, drink my coffee, read my book, do some exercises, do some shopping. And then I was like, you know what meal is going to take a long time? Soup. I'm going to make a lot of soup because there's so much prep work involved in soup. So many vegetables and whatnot. If you're making a minestrone from scratch, which is what I did, and it's like 30 to 40 minutes of simmering. Ah, what a gift to occupy that amount of time. And then here's the problem. Here's how I shot myself in the foot. Now I don't need to cook lunch or dinner for the next like 3 days. I got all this fucking soup.
Yeah, you need to start having dinner parties or something.
Ooh, do you want
to
come over?
Making food for other people. Yeah, I'd love to.
All right.
Yeah, I can't.
Ah.
You know I can't do that.
I know. I was a fool for asking.
But yeah, you should. If you make something really great, maybe there's somebody you could share it with. I wonder. I mean, obviously you don't have any friends.
Oh boy! Oh, this is making a turn.
Maybe you could take it to like a homeless shelter. Maybe you make a really good ziti and bring it down to the shelter.
We should probably wrap this up. You know, I make a good ziti. I made it for you for Easter.
You do make a great ziti.
Okay, yeah. I need to track down the social accounts to wrap this up. This was a fun Christmas episode. It's going to air whenever it airs. And while I'm tracking everything down, Baby Yoda from Disney Plus's The Mandalorian is one of the only things in the last 10 years that I feel like the entire internet has been united behind. They all agree Baby Yoda is cute, precious, and deserving of our protection. All of the memes have been good. The fan art is great. You, Soren, you said that you hope Baby Yoda dies and that when it happens slowly. Just out of curiosity, why do you feel it makes narrative sense for the Mandalorian to strangle Baby Yoda with his hands in the dark on Baby Yoda's birthday and why Baby Yoda's first, last, and only word is why?
Yeah. No, thank you for giving me the time to speak about this. Look, I'm with you. Baby Yoda is adorable and cute and darling and I've loved all the memes, but this is not what The Mandalorian is about. The Mandalorian is supposed to be about Boba Fett or a Boba Fett adjacent mercenary. I'm doing this backpedaling because Bacon is shaking his head and I have not seen it. The Mandalorian is about a Boba Fett adjacent mercenary kicking ass And you can't have something cute and darling the entire time. Look, when you're playing a video game and you've got that one escort mission you got to do in the middle of the game where there's that cute little girl you got to take care of, it's fine for that portion of the game. But man, what a hassle. At a certain point, you got to cut that loose and just play for you. It's way more fun when John Wick's dog dies than when John Wick's dog is alive. Imagine what this Mandalorian, is that his name? Is he a Mandalorian? imagine what Amanda can do when she, I'm assuming, no longer has any love tying her to the earth and bounding her. Just a revenge story through and through.
Okay, so just to softly and quickly recap, Soren thinks Amanda is too tied to the earth.
Yes.
In The Mandalorian. Got it. Okay. You can find... Okay.
People complain that this one could fly around. Is that a problem? Not like literally tied to the earth. And obviously not our earth. An earth, a Goldilocks type of planet in a galaxy far, far away a long time ago.
You can find Soren and let him know your thoughts on his Mandalorian fan theories at Soren_LTD on Twitter. You can find me at DOB_INC on Twitter. You can find Bacon at MakeMeBaconPlease on Twitter. Please is spelled PLS. You can email us at qqwithsorenanddaniel@gmail.com and we will respond within the fortnight. The show is on Twitter at twitter.com/qq_sorenanddan. We also are on Instagram. Who cares? And we also have a Patreon. Bacon, what's our Patreon? How do they get it?
/quick question.
Patreon/quick question. That's where you can give money to us if you would like to. That's very kind of you. It's Christmas. Maybe save that money. That's really all I have to say. Soren, how are you feeling about everything that you said today?
I mean, great. I always feel great about everything I say.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.